Thank you, Pastor Bob. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I heard someone say happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. So I want to share a story with you. I heard it a few years ago. It's about a doctor. His name was Dr. Park Tucker. And he was the chaplain at the federal prison in the early 1930s in Atlanta, Georgia. So a lot of things happened in his life, and he was very, very discouraged. He felt disappointed by the circumstances in his life. So one day, Dr. Tucker was walking along the streets, and his shoulders were slumped down, his head was, you know, pointing down, his eyes were down, and he just felt overwhelmed with disappointments and discouragement. For a brief moment, as he was walking, he lifted his eyes, and he did like a double take. He saw a funeral home and a sign in the window of the funeral home. Now, he could not believe what he was seeing. So he kind of like wiped his eyes and he looked at the sign again. And the funeral home sign read, "Why walk around half dead? We can bury you for $69.50. So, of course, this kind of lifted his spirits a bit. But it's a story that reminds me that many people are walking around half dead. Many people are discouraged by the circumstances in their lives. They are overwhelmed by their disappointments. I believe that some of us had an amazing year last year, 2019. But I also believe that some of us experienced a number of disappointments. So many disappointments that if we're honest with ourselves, we're not really looking forward to 2020. We think and we feel, well, maybe I shouldn't get my hopes up, because every time I get my hopes up, something goes wrong. So I'm just walking through 2020. So in the story that was read for our scripture so well, it tells us a story of two people that had an encounter with Jesus. And their story reminds us that disappointments are not something foreign to the Christian experience. We don't know a lot about them. We don't know where they were born. We know the name of one of them. We don't know what they did for a living. But we know that they had an encounter with Jesus that was so life-transforming and significant that it has painted the pages of Scripture for us today. And it serves as a reminder that disappointments, incorrectly dealt with, can block our vision by distracting us from divine plans. Disappointments, incorrectly dealt with, can block our vision by distracting us from divine plans. So I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13 and 14. Luke chapter 24, 13 and 14. It begins to paint the picture for us. The scene opens, and two followers of Jesus just left Jerusalem. And this is the Sunday evening after the Passover. The events that took place in Jerusalem, the city of peace, left them in a state of discouragement and frustration. That same Friday, their hopes and dreams had literally been crucified. You see, the Jewish people hated the power that their oppressors had over them. And they read scripture after scripture of a coming Messiah, someone who would lead them into a massive revolt and give them their freedom. This anticipation permeated their daily lives. All of their hopes and dreams were tangled in this belief. Yet, the expectancy in the culture for this Messiah often opened the way for false messiahs to rise up. And oftentimes, they would get a large following. So here they were walking west towards the sunset on a mountainous, dangerous path heading for Emmaus, which was about 2 hours from Jerusalem. I believe that the journey was even more difficult because of their heavy hearts. And I can imagine some of the things going through their mind. Was he just another imposter? Like, did we believe wrong? We thought that he was the one. How could we give ourselves to something and someone so much only to be disappointed like this? I imagine that this can sound familiar to many of us in this room. We have all experienced disappointments, whether it's in our love life, on the job, school, family, and even in our ministries. But as a result of these disappointments, have you ever felt that you've slipped into a pit of discouragement and you've been trapped by its vines? These followers were there. The story continues, verses 15 to 17, and this is one of my favorite parts. We discover that in the midst of their conversation, there is a divine eavesdropper. Jesus makes an appearance. And I like how he has this habit of just plopping himself into situations where his children need him. And not only is he eavesdropping, he has the audacity to ask them, "What are you talking about?" He had an interest in the conversation of his followers. Jesus himself was concerned about the conversation of his people. When we experience disappointments, I wonder what our conversations are like. As we begin to analyze the situation, as we talk about it with other people, what are some of the things that we say? Story continues, verse 18. One of the followers responds, and I like the way the young man read it this morning because that's exactly how I read that text. They respond with a bit of an attitude. Like, are you the only stranger in all of Jerusalem that didn't hear what just happened? Up to this point, their mouths were moving a lot, but their eyes were still closed. Jesus calmly replies, he says, in verse 19, they refer to him as a prophet, not God, not the Son of God, nor master or ruler of the universe, but a prophet. The conversations of the people of God reveal much. Verses 20 to 24, they begin to speak, and they began to pour out their hearts. They told him of how their so-called Savior had been delivered into the hands of his enemies, condemned to die and crucified. Dead people cannot save people. They shared how they had been hoping that he would deliver Israel. And worse yet, some women went to his tomb and could not even find his body. In other words, our lives are a mess because of this major disappointment. The pain was real for them. And get this, these were no two ordinary followers of Jesus. They were actually in the room with the other disciples when the women came from the tomb. And if you don't believe me, you can read verses 22 and 23. They were actually in the room and got a first-hand account of the situation. Close as can be to life-changing knowledge and to Christ, and they still missed it. Here comes another one of my favorite parts. Verses 25 to 27, Jesus interrupts them. They were discouraged because of this great disappointment, and it had become the theme of their conversation. But why was it that they did not recognize Jesus if they had been with him? People have different interpretations. Some scholars say that the words restrained or holden means that there was an outside influence blocking them from seeing, and that could be part of it. Other scholars, and I agree with this, believe that although that could have been a small rule, that there was an outside influence, the main reason they could not recognize Jesus was because they were too absorbed with their own thoughts. In other words, they were too self-focused. Their conversation had revealed the inner condition of their heart, which was filled to the brim with discouragement and doubt. And this resulted in a sight problem. These followers were so fixated on their own plans that they were unable to see Jesus or his perfect will. Disappointments incorrectly dealt with will block our vision and ultimately hinder our walk with Jesus. Desire of Ages, page 83, points out that Jesus could have shown signs and wonders that proved who he was. Instead, he used this as a teaching moment, and he directed their attention back to the prophecies. In other words, he reminded them of the surety of the Word of God. This would not only help them with their current disappointment, but for every disappointment that they would experience in the future. A faith rooted in the Word of God will dispel the darkness of disappointment. So my question to you this morning is, whose words are you relying on? Are you claiming the promises of God? I have learned that in all disappointment, I must remember God's promises. So when something didn't work out the way you had hoped, maybe you can boldly say, Romans chapter 28, verse 28, "And I know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." When it seems like all doors of opportunities are closing before your eyes, especially as you look forward to 2020, you can relax knowing that God promised in Isaiah 43, verse 19, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness." and rivers in the desert. And when it seems like you're drowning in a sea of shattered dreams and disappointments, you can stand tall and declare Psalm 34, verse 19, I may have many troubles, but the Lord will deliver me from them all. Disappointments will come. That is the reality of life. But we must remember, or we must begin to see them as avenues that can bring us closer to God's plans for our lives. Some years ago, before I attended Andrews University for my undergrad, I was a banker and going to college in the Bahamas, and I felt God impressing me that it was time to leave and to finish my education at Andrews, a Christian, a seven-day Adventist institution. And I had never gone to an Adventist institution. So I had worked and I had saved money, and I began to apply for scholarships. And I applied to a number of scholarships. One in particular was probably one of the most prestigious scholarship foundations in the country. They called me, the person making the arrangements called me and said, hey, you made it to the short list, but we need you to come in for an interview. And I'm like, thank you, God, yes. And then she said, so the interviews will be on Saturday. And immediately I felt my heart drop. And she said, hello? I'm like, yeah, I believe in the Sabbath. That's my beliefs. So I cannot come to the interview. And she said, oh, okay. And we ended the conversation. About a day or two later, I think he was the chair of the board of the Scholarship Foundation, he called me and he said, I just heard that you don't want to come in for this interview because of Sabbath. I said, yes, sir, that's true. He said, well, I went ahead. I took the liberty of calling the conference office, and I chatted with one of the senior pastors there just to see what they thought. And this senior pastor told me that it should be fine for you to come. So just come. And I said, well, you know, that may be that senior pastor's beliefs, but I don't think this is what God is calling me to. So I will not be coming. And he was just blown away. I think he was like, this is a crazy woman. And he said, okay, well, I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you. My heart was heavy. I'm like, God, I left my job. I'm trying to make it to school. What is happening? What are you doing? And I did go to Andrews for the first semester. And I am a bit of a worrier, I will admit that. So I began to worry in my first semester. I said, God, I can cover this semester, but I don't know what happens after this. You called me to this, but what do I do? And on one particular night, my heart was heavy. I'm like, I know I made the right decision. I made the right decision. My heart was heavy, and I prayed. And I said, God, I believe that you brought me to Andrews University. You brought me here for a purpose. I don't know how this funding is going to work out, but I need you to do something, and do something soon so I can focus on just studying. Very bold. I'm still here. I wasn't struck by lightning. So the next morning, first thing in the morning, my mom calls me, and she said, you know that other scholarship, that very prestigious scholarship that you applied for, right? But only 4 people in the country get the scholarship? Well, they just called and said, you got the scholarship. In Ministry of Healing, page 474, Ellen White says that in the future life, the mysteries that have here annoyed and disappointed us will be made plain. We shall see that our seemingly unanswered prayers and disappointed hopes have been among our greatest blessings. Do you get that? Some of the disappointments that you are going through or that you experience in 2019 may be some of your greatest blessings. As I was preparing this message, I was talking, and a friend told me her experience. She said that she had just gotten married, and her fiancé were about to buy a house. It fell through, they couldn't buy the house, but they went ahead and got married. Some days later, he lost his job and was unemployed for 6 to 7 months. So had they gotten the house, they would not have been able to keep up with the mortgage payments. And when I look at that and I listen to stories like that and think about my own experiences, I realize that God's timing is always best. When confronted with any disappointment, we must pray, Father, what is your will? Not my will, Jesus. What is your will in all of this? These disciples eventually got that. Further in the story, we discover that faith finally flooded their hearts, and the scales of discouragement and doubt fell from their eyes. And get this, verse 33, they were so overjoyed that they decided to travel back to Jerusalem that same night. The journey was more dangerous because it was at night, but they did not care. And I just have this picture in my mind of them running and laughing and jumping over rocks like Indiana Jones and just being very happy. They had good news. And I want you to get this from the story. The path to go back to Jerusalem hadn't changed. It was the same road that they took to Emmaus. Also recognize that their earthly situation was the same. They were still under Roman authority. So what changed? Their eyes were now opened. They had an encounter with Jesus that transformed their perception. He had drawn their attention away from their own plans to the higher purposes of God. They now understood that their disappointment brought about their greatest blessing. So no, they were not delivered from Roman authority, but because of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, they had been released from Satan's grip. They could walk and live triumphantly, knowing that Jesus had been victorious over Satan. And they could bask in the knowledge that because of Christ, death itself will one day die. And it's the same for us today. The Emmaus Road does not represent the road less traveled, but rather a busy pathway for believers, the road frequently traveled. Disappointments will come to everyone, whether we like it or not, but we must not dwell on these discouragements. We must not allow them to block our vision and distract us from God's divine plans. It is our privilege to pray, to ask God to intervene as he sees fit, and to trust him in the process. As I close, I think of a story of an older woman, an elderly woman, who would sit on the swing in front of her porch. Her husband had died some years ago, so she would sit there alone. One day, she was in her garage, and she discovered some seeds. and she remembered that the seeds were for vines that grew bright red flowers. So the woman decided that she would plant them alongside a wall of concrete blocks that separated her yard from her neighbor's yard. And the wall was built in such a way that in between the blocks were spaces. So she planted the seeds and she worked hard. And with a hurting back and blistered hands, she finished and felt proud. Finally, something good was about to happen. So time went by and the vines grew. They grew so much that they covered the entire wall. And the old woman was excited, getting ready to see the bright red flowers. Time went on, and no flower grew. So she was extremely disappointed. And one day, overwhelmed with disappointment, she said, "I planted these to see vines. Finally, something good was going to happen to me in my life again. I planted these vines so that I could see bright red flowers, and there's nothing. I'm done." So she goes into her garage, and she grabs a pair of scissors, garden scissors, and she begins to cut the vines on her side of the wall. Her neighbor, a young man, was driving home, and he saw her, and he stopped, and he came running up to her. He said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I planted these so that I could see bright red flowers, and there's nothing. So I'm cutting them down." And he said, "I know this is your wall, and we share this wall. This is your side. But let me show you something." So he took her by the hand, led her over to his side of the wall, and covering the wall were hundreds of bright red flowers. Oftentimes, we will not see the big picture, and we can be tempted to just focus on our disappointments. But my appeal to you today is very, very simple. We've learned that disappointments incorrectly dealt with can block our vision by distracting us from divine plans. But as we approach this new year or continue in this new year, I want us to have a fresh start. Disappointments will come. Remember, I said that it's a road that's frequently traveled. However, when they come, I want us to choose to say, "Father, I will trust your plans above my own, because I cannot see everything now. But I know that if I trust you, I will experience a deeper, sweeter, more meaningful walk with you, because you love me and you desire my good." Let's pray together. Our heavenly friend, we are so grateful for the promise that no matter what we go through in life, you are with us. And God, we admit that many times we are faced with disappointments and seasons of discouragement. And sometimes, if we're honest, it feels like you're not there. But help us to remember, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You promise, God, and we believe in your promises. So as we move through this life, God, help us to move through it with joy and love. And as we face pain and difficulties, God, remind us that one day we will see the full picture. You never desired for us to hurt, God, but you are with us even in our pain. And one day, God, we believe the promises of your word, that there will be no more death or sorrow or sadness, God, that the old things will pass away and all things will be made new. So until that time, God, each day help us to trust you. No matter how discouraged or disappointed we are, help us to put one foot in front of the other and to move forward, trusting that you are holding our hands every step of the way. In the name of Jesus, we pray, knowing, God, that you have heard us and you will answer. Amen.